Welcome to Nasanta's Real, the show that is touching all nations by being real. I'm Nasanta Law, and today we're having our first Struggling in the Skirt episode for this season with my homegirl, Sakina Carter. It's going to be a very amazing conversation, so please ensure that you listen all the way through. All right, guys? Yeah.
Struggling the soul, feeling like you're nothing. We got a word and that is a sure thing. Don't believe in fake, activate your faith. We're the real ones and we got you. We got you.
All right, so now it's time to welcome Sakina to the Real. She is here to share her story and encourage others to overcome as she did. Hey, Sakina.
Hello.
What's a guanin? Thank you so much for accepting the, what would I say? Well,
the invitation to join.
It's not really my invitation because me just say, what will we just say a time note. So I summoned you. One notice. A time now. But thank you so much for accepting the thing that we do. Yeah. So for those who don't know who Sakina is a very good friend of mine. A friend of my mind as well. I've known Sakina since I was in grade 7, to be honest. I've known you since grade 7, Sakina. Yes. And from St. Hilda's, and in grade 7, I always looked up to you. I was like, the girl is just right.
Wow.
But then we became friends, we became classmates in grade 10. And mm-hmm. I just publicly say at that time, we couldn't bother with you. You were such a strict form captain.
I wasn't even a form captain. I was just a prefect.
You were so strict and I couldn't bother with that. But in grade 11 now, we started to interact, and sadly to me, I started to see how awesome you were in the last semester when we were about to graduate. And it was a great regret of mine because I'm like, why don't you just never give the girl a chance?
I'm sane.
Yes. And I think from there on, I decided that we're probably cousins because my mother is also, and your mother is also. So I'm like, yeah, we're cousins. Moving on. We went through university, different university, but again, it was in our last. It was in our last final year that we became closer, and time we started to share our hopes and our dreams after university, and we would have recognized that. We wanted to have a quote-unquote gap year to figure out what we would want life to be, but to do it while getting paid. We wanted to go on the other side of the world. But the Lord would have it that we didn't go on the other side of the world. Building up momentum to here. So bear with me. And then in the height of the pandemic from 2020 to 2021, both of us, we were unemployed individuals. And we had to be encouraging each other, and we were like, all right, we'll just figure out what we need to do now. And at that time, you launched the self-care.
The me time brand.
Yeah, the me time brand. And when you launched the Me Time brand, that was when I fully got deep into the Real Ones brand. So while you were over there doing that, you know, encouraging women, you know, to invest in self-care, you also became an author.
Yeah.
You became a whole author. And then with this book called Hello Positive Me, A Guide to a Better Outlook on Life.
Mm-hmm.
And then following that, you started to do YouTube.
Yes.
Whole YouTuber. And then from there on, we're now at the part where Homegirl has been documenting her transition into a blog / newsletter on Substack called Feminine Church Girl. And that's where I'm really interested in, because that's why I called you, because I've been following your can I call it a blog?
Yes.
So I've been following your blog since June 23rd. About that time you launched your first post. I've been following since that time, but this week I was reading your piece about how I didn't know how to be a good Christian, and while I was reading it, I was like, you know, you actually share as something very similar to what many of us share, and I was like, this sounds like the struggle. This sounds like the ideal person to relaunch the Struggling in the Skirt series, because this is the first since the year. And while I was preparing and meditating, it came to me that this is not coincidental, because homegirl, the thing named Feminine Church Girl, and something that you probably don't know, when I came up with the Struggling in the Skirt series, it wasn't because of just wearing skirt, but it's the identity of the Christian woman. It's the identity of the woman and struggling in that God-ordained identity. So so then for you, say Feminine Church Girl, I'm like, okay. And your thing is a place for women to grow in Christ and their femininity. Yeah. So I want to know, Sakina.
Yes.
Are you always feminine?
Huh?
Or are you always a feminine girl?
Or all this thing came about. I feel like I was always a feminine girl, but for most of my years I spent deviating from that persona. I remember, especially in high school as a teenager, typically, you know, you're transitioning, you're trying to find yourself, and I was many things but not feminine.
I was many things. Like what then?
I was a bad girl. I remember I was trying to hang with the bad girl group, you know, the rule breakers. I remember I was trying to, you know, get the whole boyfriend vibe. I was rebellious at home, and I didn't want to conform to, you know, the idea of what the Saint Tilda's girl should be in my head, even though I wasn't always showing it outwardly.
Yeah, because I was about to say, funny enough, I didn't see that.
Yes, but I hated it. I remember in high school, I didn't get courtesy and corporation awards, you know. And I know exactly why, because I think deep down, like, they saw that I wasn't always cooperative with the rules, especially after school in the bus park. I was doing my own thing. And I was not Jesus. I was doing a bag of things. But anyway, but I remember one thing remained constant. My love for pink. And I just always wanted to be the little cute girl. But I wasn't able to. I didn't have that chance. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I loved pink, and pink is very representative of femininity, you know, it's aligns with that type of the vibe of being soft and gentle. And so that part of me was always there, and I was, when I did the whole self-care thing and started getting into it, I just decided, why am I trying to suppress this part of me? Why don't I embrace who I am? And it came out, and I've never felt more, you know, at peace with that part of my soul, and then just embracing my womanhood and not trying to go against everything that I should be.
Interesting. And I like how transparent you are, because you mentioned how you suppressed it. I think mm-hmm. that for many of us, we suppress it. We try to be tough in this world, because we feel like when you're soft, then you won't be acknowledged for all that you are and more, right? Mm-hmm. That's something that I want to pull out later down. But for now, what I also want to ask you, though, based on what you've also shared, is what does it mean to now be the feminine church girl? Because you're now embracing that. What does being the feminine church girl look like?
Well, so for me, well, just for me, but what the Bible says about the feminine, just being a woman, a biblical woman, and it's very synonymous to being a feminine church girl, being a biblical woman and being a feminine church girl. So we all talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. You know, I remember that was even trending at one point. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. But when you really get into it, and especially like in titles, when we talk about how a woman should be, you know, being gentle and ensuring that you do good work and just being that woman to take care of her home and being very prayerful. A woman has to be very prayerful, praying for her husband, praying for her family, even without their knowledge.
Yeah.
It's the role of a woman. And I especially want to point out that point about being very prayerful. And when you're the feminine church girl, you know, as opposed to what society would say about being, you know how sometimes society say women should not depend on man, should do their own thing and whatever. In the Bible, it tells you that the man is the head of the house, and we as women are there to support them. Not to say that you should walk all over, you know, if the man tells you to go kill yourself, you're going to do all that crazy things.
Yeah.
Of course not. You have your own mind, and you should be a biblical woman, like the Bible suggests.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You know, interestingly, recently I was reading a book by Tony Evans, and he was highlighting, you know, what it meant to be a helpmeet, because women, we were created to be helpmeet, right? And when he was, you know, sharing on that topic, he highlighted that the word helpmeet comes from the Greek word that has been used synonymously, like help us rather, synonymously with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, society makes us feel as women like we're just supposed to cook and clean and we're like an afterthought. That's a post I'm working on. So it's like we're afterthought. Like God just created men, and then he's like, oh, let me just create a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is much more than that. When I was reading it too, reading the word, I recognized something pulling out, where for man, he made man, but for woman, he fashioned woman. He fashioned Eve. So that shows me some more intricacy goes into it. So it's no surprise that as a woman, we're such intricate beings, and it's for us to really and truly tap into that femininity, as you've highlighted and all of that. But let me not segue, because this is about hearing your thoughts, not about, you know, Shakira.
Yeah. So suppressing it. You suppressed it. At what age, though, did you give your life to God? Because you say you suppress it. And I feel like, you know, when you were talking about you were rebellious, you were also suppressing the Christian girl. When we feel like your mommy did raise it for me. So.
Well,
about that journey.
Journey.
Yeah, how you get saved. And the whole suppression thing, that the rebellious thing, that we never know what, but you're over there struggle.
Yes, I was struggling internally. But I got baptized pretty young. I got baptized when I was 8 years old. I remember I was in grade 3. And
was it the case that you were pushed or not? What was the decision process like?
From what I can recall, I remember my mom got baptized a week before me, and I was there the following week after her baptism, and we were just in church. I don't remember what exactly happened, but I remember two of us, I was 8, my other friend, she was 9, she was a year older than me. I was just decided to get baptized, and that was it. We got baptized. I don't remember exactly what the sermon was about, but I decided to get baptized that day. Nobody pushed me into it. Nobody forced me. I just decided to get baptized that day.
So did you understand what you were signing up to?
I think I kind of did. You know how you said earlier that I was a strict prefect?
Yes. Here's a very thing. Fun.
Here's my thing. You see, when it comes on to rules and honoring your word, well, let me not say rules, but just performing your duty. That's it. Duty and honoring that duty. That was it for me. I understood from that age that I needed to honor this vow that I made. And it might seem like a very honorable thing and a good thing. However, what I found was that I wasn't enjoying being a Christian. I wasn't happy with, you know, this Christianity. And it's because I was doing it only to honor my vow. And I don't feel like that alone is enough. That's alone. If you're going to be a Christian, like right now, I'm happy. Even if I had another choice, you know, even if I was given a million choices, I would still choose to be a child of God now. But back in that time, even at 8 years old, 9 years old, I remember I was just struggling because it always felt, if I did something bad, I would judge myself so harshly. I don't even think God would judge me that bad. I was just so hard on myself, and I couldn't settle in my mind from that time all throughout, for the rest of primary school, high school. That's how I felt.
Wow. You said something that really pricked me a while ago. You said you were just honoring your vows, but you weren't enjoying it. I just have to allow that to just marinate in my mind. Honoring vows, but I wasn't enjoying it. Wow. That one, the deep, you know. So at what point then did you recognize that you needed to switch that up? What changed?
After going through that pull, a long season of that tug and the pull and fighting with these decisions about sinning and everything, I remember I kind of hit rock bottom. It was during the height of the pandemic when I came home and I did not know what to do with myself. I was in university and they said, oh, you need to go home now. And it was fine. I was home for a while. And then I went back on campus for a little while, even though I shouldn't. But that's another story. And then when I was done with my degree, I had to come back home again. And I remember I was there. I just did not know who I was. I did not know what I'm doing. I felt so lost. I remember I felt depressed at one point. I was so low. I hit rock bottom. And there was nothing else I really could have done but turn to God. There was no one else. Even if I talked to people, I wouldn't tell them the whole story. Nobody knew how bad and how bad it had gotten internally. And I was going to church a little bit more. Even though it was a pandemic, I wanted to, you know, find an out, just connect with God, just find somebody who could help me. And who else was there? There's nobody else to help me but God. It was at that point. And so, you know, when they had only 30 people could go into the church, I was one of those 30. And I felt better just going there, and I felt my spirit being lifted up. And that kind of was a turning point for me. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. All right. So there's that turning point. But I wanted to stop you at while you were explaining something, but you know, I'm happy that I didn't. So I was just going to jump back there. You said that there was a lot of tugging, right? What were you tugging with? What were the struggles looking like? Name them. Call them for what they were.
Oh my God. No, the world will know who I am or who I was. Let's see. So, the tugging. You know how in the cartoons you see one voice over here with the angel and one with the demon?
Yes.
That's how I felt.
Yes.
And the tugging was with the sins, right? Like, going to the parties was a big one.
Tell us about that experience. The reason I'm asking that is because there may be some who are listening and they really feel like, or some people may be starting university, and interestingly want to put out this episode before some persons go back to university. And I realized that within Jamaica, it's different now. It's like it gone back normal where everybody come in. So I really want you to share as much as you can, because you don't know who you might be helping.
That's true. Well, let me tell you, if you're out there, and this is something I put in one of my posts, that college is, it's a breeding ground for sins. I feel like young, impressionable minds, the devil, it's a playground for the devil and demons to just have you up and down all around. And you have to be very firm in your faith, connect with people, like-minded people, if you want to make it through, firm
Christian
and strong.
Christian like-minded people.
Yeah. Understand me.
No, may have to make that clear.
That is true. Because the thing with college is, you know, in high school, when you had your parents there, and you still kind of have to, you know, listen to them, all of that. When you're away, especially for me who was in boarding on campus, there's nobody there. Nobody cares if you stay up until 4 a.m. Nobody cares if you go out there to do some drugs. Nobody is going to be there to, you know, stop this, behave, whatever. So you're on your own, and that freedom, it feels sweet initially, but it can get to your head, and the devil will use that to give you ideas of what he could do, what you've been missing out, especially what you've been missing out on. And you can't even see my air quotes right now, but I did do some air quotes that missing out on, right? And that was it for me. I wanted to experience everything, and so I was in first year. I came to college and I knew this, you know, I knew this in the back of my mind. Hey, you need to be steadfast. And still,
we all do it.
Yeah, I knew. And then I tried to do my best. I remember one time when I had carnival. Carnival is in second semester. First semester, I did fine. That second semester, you know, everybody on my floor dressing up, putting on bling bling and shorts up, shorts up. I mean, I said, they said, just come, man, just come. So I went, and you know, that was just one. Next thing you know, I go into more and more. And you know, by third year, I am the one in the party who is the life of the party.
The party, what you say?
I am the, what did I say, Shaki? I am the life of the party. My unsafe friends would be there, and they will be standing around being cute. Mm-mm, me gun dash out. Oh my god, is that okay to say on the podcast?
Of course, yeah, dash out from life of the party to life of the church.
I'm saying, ooh, that's my next post, girl.
Wow.
Yeah, man, my gun dash out and go on with a bag of things. And I, even throughout all of that, you know, I still had the talk saying, oh no, you're a Christian, so you need to go to church. So I would go home and put on my church because I'm going to church this Sunday.
My God, one foot in, one foot out. So when the pastor preached though, how you feel?
Me? I felt bad. I felt bad, but it wasn't enough to reconvert me, I guess. Wasn't a strong enough pull at that time.
I think
I had to go through more. I feel like God didn't want to say me stubborn, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna lick that water for six.
I shouldn't even be laughing because been there. I shouldn't be laughing. But you know, I can laugh. Well, you referenced the Proverbs 31 woman. No, we can laugh at what's to come, because we've been walking with the Lord, and there's a certain level of peace that surpasses all understanding. If you ever realize when you're going through these things, you're just so anxious. You're anxious for if mommy go find out if pastor go preach by you in a church.
Yes.
Because
it's true.
You're deceiving yourself so much that I think that's why it's like, you know, when the Lord speaks and it referenced the angel upon one side and so on, God on one side, and thing, when the word the voice of God speak, it not always that loud. It's like a whisper, but the devil now blocks everything. So your conscience, you feel away, but it's like, I am far past redemption, so might as well I continue.
You continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
When you talk about that piece is very important, because we could go back to the point about just not being happy. At that time, because of that whole tug and that struggle. But no, when you find that peace, let me tell you, all you young Christians who go into church, who go into university or high school or wherever you're going, that peace, when you find that peace, you've found a good thing. I'm telling you, because, you know, you will be struggling with all of that. But even if I had a choice, and I do have a choice now, where I could go out and about, I still wouldn't want to go, because I'm so happy. I'm at peace now, where I just want to go to church and celebrate God, be with Him, serve Him. It is It's such a beautiful place to be, as opposed to, why me a struggling on my mind and me just feel horrible one day. Next day me I said, sure, it's alright, me go just do it, God gonna understand. That too much confusion in my mind. That was too much.
It's a whole lot. And something to pull up from what you said a couple minutes ago was where when you go, you look at everything. The enemy just shows you the limitations that you're not supposed to be a part of, and then you feel like you need to be a part of it, right? I didn't say it verbatim, but verbatim. I'm gonna say it word for word, but what I'm basically saying is you highlighted how you feel like the restriction is you're missing out. Missing out.
Yeah.
That literally goes back to the Adamic, to the sin, the first sin, where the enemy, like literally, Sakina, God say, have all of these things, indulge in it. These are for your pleasure. You have all of these things to participate in. Have fun. You're not gonna get bored. It's more than honoring a vow, Sakina. These are the tree to you. But this one tree, not touch it, right? And forgetting about all the abundance and focusing on that one limitation to then become a prisoner to sin, right? And that's what happens in this generation, where we focus so much on, oh, I can't party, I can't smoke, I can't have sex without marriage, I can't this, I can't that. And then the more you think about I can't, you take off the T, which represents the cross. Oh my Jesus.
Oh, that's Lord, come on now.
The T representing the cross. And you say, I can. And before you know it, you're just in bondage. And you really miss out on seeing that there was so much things that you could have done that would have God's peace attached to it. So many things. You don't have to be intoxicated. You don't have to be smoking. You don't have to be getting high. Because these things are temporary pleasure that kill us. Not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally and mentally, and we could financially, all kind of things. But we want to be so caught up, and I think it also goes back to identity. So being that acknowledging that I'm that feminine church girl, I feel like that's what really and truly set the tone for you, you know.
Come
because
on,
accepting your identity now makes you recognize that my identity is attached to a vow, but it's much more than that. It's much more than that. And we really want persons not to really go down the road that we went on. Really.
That's why we have to tell them no.
We have to. We ought to. Did you do drugs? That's such a weird question. Did you do drugs?
Yes.
Oh my God, what kind of drugs did you do?
Oh my God, what if my parents listen to this?
All right, so before she talks, I did weed edibles, ice cream, weed gummy, weed candy. I nearly smoked several times. I lit somebody's, just listing them. I lit somebody's weed and then giving him smoke it. I knew all the weed spots on UTEC. Still remember them right now. So I feel like I'm the worst. I drank on campus. One time I drank so hard, and then by the next day I was in church.
My God, we're the same.
I went to church and I never feel no way. Because like the weed really changed my mood. I was depressed and I now feel better. But that was deception. Yeah, so, and I drank several times. I I went to party more than one part one time in one night. Not me coming on the Sri Lanka list. One night, Sakina, I went to a party with a guy I hardly know knew. And wait, well, I went to a casino and help the in one of the individual place bet, drink, then move from that the party there to our next party, one party uptown. God almighty. And then in the same week there, every night I just a drink. So I feel I said all that to say, what drugs did you do?
Oh, I did I did weed brownie, weed cake. Yeah. I'm a drink too.
Were you addicted to it though?
I was not. It was just like one-off things, you know. You're there and you're doing it.
I can relate. And the interesting thing about that, why I want to really highlight that, is that many times you'll see us walking around, and these are the things that we have attached to us. These are the shame. And a part of this podcast episode that I really want persons to really grab is the fact that you don't need to walk in your shame. When I read your thing about your piece about going to Carnival as well, and how somebody reached out to you to talk about Chris Brown coming to Jamaica, I was like, that was bold of you. Bold of you to share, your faith in such a way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was like a very, very bold statement. And I just want this to be a platform of sorts to show someone that you never know. Many of these things that you feel like you get caught up in, like when we highlight and when Sakina highlight, these are some things that the Lord can use to propel your purpose, because your ministry now couldn't have been as effective as it is and will be without these things that you went through.
I completely agree. It
Yeah.
had to have been that way. It had to have been.
It had to. I mean, there were other ways it could have happened, but you're not able to reach a certain target audience, because I feel like everybody has a certain target audience that they've been called to.
Correct.
Yeah. And for the target audience way for reach, yeah, some party going, struggling people. And based on that, so even pulling out from your story, I realized that there will come a point where you need to choose. Choose he this day whom you will serve. Whom you will serve. So you've highlighted that you started going to church, right? What about church now makes the difference for you? Because
Well,
some people may say, you just are talking to Sakina, church
nice.
boring. I talk about your left party, you'd always choose if you get a million choices. Girl, please share,
No.
support your stance. What's so fun now about church
Church.
lifestyle?
Well, let me see. I'm attending a different church than the one I first got baptized in. So I re-baptized the last year. And I will say this.
Oh, congrats.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. What about church? You see, no, I feel like because I was struggling to with my identity for so long, and I finally like just accept and what do how do I say this identity that I have now, It's who I am and who I want to be, who God wants me to be, right? And being around people who share that same belief. In this church that I am now, I don't, let me tell you, before my first church, I didn't want to be too Christian. I think I said it in my post. I didn't want to be too Christian, you know?
Why?
I'm a cute girl. I'm Miss Cute.
So you can't be Christian and cute?
No, that was a belief I had, right? Of course, my Christian and cute, no.
But, I'm just throwing shade. I'm just throwing shade. I know, man.
Yeah. Even the other day, I was at my church camp and there were some young people there. It was a youth camp. And so they had some teenagers. And, you know, I saw myself in those teenagers because they didn't want to praise the Lord too much. You know, they want to put them hand up halfway. I can't put your hand up too much because you look too Christian. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be. So it was that was my belief back then. Me no want show off say me a Christian too much and you know be too low and all that. But now my church is very loud, you know, it's one of them very serious Black people Pentecostal church. you have different type of churches, you know. Mm-hmm. I just think I found my tribe. And I'm not trying to run from who I am anymore. So I feel, and I will tell you that the person who God puts in charge of your church and your that spiritual leader is very important. Because you need somebody who is able to guide you and mentor you on a particular level. And the reason I love my church and even just being around my pastor this much is because he's able, you see, just like how I'm able to relate on my podcast, my
speak
blog.
Speak it into being, girl. Speak it into being. Your podcast. Speak it into being.
On my blog like that. Just real and authentic. He's that type of person for me. You know? Yeah, so I need that in my life. You're going to have different places where you can go, different churches where you can go, you know, it's a different type of thing. But at my church, I get that authenticity. I'm not going to like behave. You need to be, you see, if how do I put this? How I used to judge myself harshly. I feel better when I know that there is somebody out there who had struggled the same way that I did and God helped them to be better. And I just feel that way at my church, like people who there, they share testimony like I was struggling this way and now I'm better. And so I feel at home. That is it after all. I feel at home. I feel like I can be the type of Christian that I want to be, that I feel that God has called me to be. And so that is the difference between now and then.
I really, really love this for you because, and this is where we need to call on, you know, spiritual leaders in the event that they're listening to say, as young people, or not just young people, overall, please create an atmosphere where persons are able to just share, because I feel like maybe we could have probably be better when we did younger, you know, if someone had said, I have a struggle in this area. And then you recognize that, well, I'm kind of wavering in the sense where I want to tap into that area. All right, let me hear your testimony on how that went.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't necessarily want to share where they've been and where God has taken them from. And so it's sad that we end up condemning ourselves before people can even hear our story. And many of us haven't received our level of healing the way that we should get our healing because we don't confess. In James 5 somewhere, it says, confess your faults, or in another translation, your sins, one to another so that you may be healed. And many of us, you know, Or yes, God forgives us, but there's a difference when we're able to just talk about it. So
yeah.
I hope that, you know, this space gave you another, added another layer to your healing where you can be like, okay, mommy, if mommy hearing this, hey, Auntie Claude.
Oh my God.
If she hearing, she said, you know, you're not able to say, all right, mommy's aware of this. I no longer have to feel anyway. Because me feel like, to be honest, Sakina, more well, we know how we spiritual parent find out, we know how we physical parent find out. But you see, once the two of them find out, we're good.
It's true. That's true. That's true. You're good. You're going to be fine. You just got to breathe now.
And literally, by creating content, that's a part of how I have healed so much in different areas. And something that you'll probably see if you haven't seen it just yet, and I'm turning in this part into advice section, but whatever, is that the more, Sakina, you become yourself and share you, the more persons will come to you and you'll recognize that you had a tribe all along. But it's just that sometimes there's this domino effect where in society, it requires just one person to speak the truth, which is the truth of God, right? And based on that, people will just start attaching themselves to you. And you'll be even shocked to recognize some people who will be gravitated to you, Sakina, to say, you know, I too struggled with going to the parties. And and then you'll be like, wait, what? You? And I too, that will become a very humbling experience for you. It was for me where God had to grip me because I was like, so you did a struggle all along and you could have talked about your struggle, but then God showed me to say you are just the same.
Wow, look at that.
So it's a very humbling thing that will happen, and the more you continue to just speak the truth of God, I believe that it's the more that you will realize your purpose even more. You will recognize that you have your target audience. You'll recognize even more the love of God. In recognizing the love of God, that's what gives us boldness to talk about his redeeming love, to talk about how much of a wretch you were, but he still saw within you just like Mary Magdalene.
The but God.
Like, me just love all him just change up all heap of story for you. And I'm sure there are a lot of persons who are shocked at your transformation.
I know.
What has that been like?
I don't know.
Nobody has articulated that to you to say, oh, Sakina, you change?
Not really, no.
Nobody.
I feel like people are thinking it, but nobody sent it to me. So it's okay.
Because I wanted to know what that would have been like. But I'm also happy to know that no one has necessarily like articulated that. But me, I go say it. We say, Missy, say a change. I'm like, say a change. me like this Sakina more.
Oh,
say the other one was like bad, but the reason I would say like I wouldn't say it was bad is because I didn't know that you were struggling this much.
I know,
and it kind of pains my heart that I really didn't know that you were struggling this much.
It's okay, no one knew. I'm not big on talking about them things. I was not.
Oh, because I was about to ask you. So is, you don't have no accountability now? What is God in?
Yeah, I wasn't.
Okay, so we're about to come upon a close, but I want to know, What are some of the things that you now do to focus on God? Because hopefully these will be tools to equip somebody who is a lukewarm Christian. So that's what we're going to label it as to. You know, the lukewarm. Yeah. What keeps you now on fire for God?
Ooh. Well, I'm just going to tell you in the order that it happened for me.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was finding a church or just people who I could feel comfortable being a Christian with a very heavily anointed church. That, to me, is very important. Cause you know what? Just a grown and a read. Like me, I used to read one Bible verse on the Bible app. You know, the one that comes up daily.
Really?
I used to read that. Yeah, but clearly that was not enough.
I remember how we had a Bible plan and that just fell through the cracks.
Yeah, because that wasn't enough. So just getting to a church that's heavy in the anointing, that is God-led, that is Spirit-led, the Holy Ghost Spirit is the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my church are going these days, and I'm not even getting to that right now. Anyway, the second and third thing, because this kind of happened at the same time for me, at least, is that I start studying the Bible. I'm studying. And I said to myself, no, girl, all this time, the map, everything you needed for your life, to carry you through life, was right there. And you never did looking at it. Me never used to read Bible. Very bad when I got church. And of course, I turned to this verse. I turned to the verse and whatever. But that was it. Me not read Bible on my own. No. But now, I'm reading the Bible. And I'm telling you, if you haven't, if you're not reading the Bible, anybody listening, if you're not studying the Bible, just try. Just try one day. And mentally, you're going to just open your eyes. You're going to feel so enlightened. Because right now, some things I may learn. Myself, even when I know this like 3 years early, I'm probably would be a better person in my life. But here we are. Everything happens for a reason.
True. Romans 8:28.
Hmm?
Romans 8:28.
Romans 8:28. Let me look for that.
Oh, you have your Bible right beside you.
Yes.
Look at God, man. Look at God, man.
That's God, Jesus.
I would have quoted it, but I'm giving you the opportunity to share what okay. Romans 8:28 says.
Romans 8:28. This is from the New King James Version. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Come on now.
Come on, let's start. Hey, look at God.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, really, really happy. I'm really, really happy to see, to witness, you know, this transformation. It's giving Saul to Paul.
Oh my gosh, this is exactly what I was thinking before I came on this podcast. May I say, Jaja, if Saul never got through the whole Saul situation, he wouldn't be as Paulish, you know, as very Paulish.
Paulish. Yes.
Yeah. He had to even definitely be this Saul, and he know the whole kill off the people, them and be wretched and all these great things. When he was transformed, he was such an effective leader because he knew what it meant to be on the other side.
Yeah.
Jesus, God.
Wow. We in the spirit, sis. Because that just tugged on me to say, this is giving Saul to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And during Paul's transformation, because we're highlighting, you know, how you keep focus, He literally studied the word of God for 3 years. Like, nobody not hear nothing from him. Nobody not hear nothing. And the man was just studying. And I see the kid, see it in a sense where we not hear from you on YouTube. We not hear nothing. And I just feel it in the spirit that one day, one day, because this podcast is not yours, but one day you're just going up here and just be preaching, teaching. I don't know if that's a prophecy, but I feel the grace to say it. I literally see it and feel the grace to say it, that who knows? You know, right now you're deepening yourself in the word. So look how I said it here. Look how you're going to take this place by the storm. Persons are going to see the whole transformation. And I'm reminded of this. I'm reminded of your YouTube page, how you talk about, you know, dressing differently, being modest and stuff. Believe it or not, feel the grace to say this, that was preparation for your transition.
You said when
no, with the all of us added to it, different something.
Different. Hey, it's a boy. Lord have mercy. Jeez. Look at God. God, I thank you for your grace. You're so wonderful.
Yeah. That, like,
the whole thing, man. You see, even the whole. I'm sorry.
No, say that. Because I hear a thing. Don't make me a chat out. Yeah. Yeah. We're vibing.
It was, remember I told you, I hit rock bottom. And when I hit that rock bottom, it was that time I was just trying to find my way out. And I went to the whole self-care and got, you know, even with writing the book, that had to be God. Me not used to write no book, nothing. Who me for write book? Me?
You are more numerical, right?
I am... I used to do my work. I wanted to say that, right?
Yeah.
But I did my work because I had to. This is the type of person I am. I do it because I have to, you know? It's the same thing how I used to be a Christian. It's how I used to be a prefect. It's how I did my work in school because I had to. And I would do it and do it well because I had to. Right?
But no.
I was saying, the whole transformation, you know, that whole move to this place where I'm at. So with the whole self-care, and I was trying to find, you know, like, be the woman I am now, how I dress and how I carry myself, and them some of them little things at the time I didn't even realize it, but I was learning more about that until now. I am deep in this whole feminine church girl thing, and that was preparation for this. I didn't know at the time.
So wait, are you saying that you literally just picked that up?
What?
Preparation for no. But then...
Shut up.
Wait, you just... Did you just tell me to shut up?
It is.
Shut up. Well, we give the Lord thanks for such beautiful revelation. But that was literally how I saw, like, your YouTube page flashed before me. I saw you in the black top that you had on, and something where you were talking about some feminine something on YouTube. And then I felt the grace to say that some silk something. I missed one pink something a while ago in front of my eyes. And I literally just felt the grace to tell you that it was all preparation for now. But back then, that was self. But no, when God is going to do a thing, it's going to be power packed the Holy Ghost. Wow.
Of course.
This is where it's tongue come out. You know? but I don't know. I don't know where this podcast episode has turned different. I've never been one to just talk like this. But Sakina, Carter, I just see you going You're going to be going places in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are some women, there are some territories that God will allow you to touch and reach. You know, the real ones about touching all nations. And I believe that, you know, at some point, I will have to partner with you to touch those nations that God will bring to. There are some territories, man, that your experiences, and that's the thing that I even want to highlight publicly, that many times we sit down and we wonder what is our purpose. And I feel like that was a journey for you as well, questioning God, what is my purpose, wrong or right?
Right.
And essentially, we don't want to accept the very fact that our purpose is to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Come on, man.
His disciples while on earth is to take dominion of this earth, to take back what the enemy stole in the Garden of Eden, that Jesus has died to redeem and put back into our hands, right? To steward these things, right? That is essentially what we're supposed to do and use up the gifts and talents in Giwi. However, the question that many of us war with, well, before that, we war with that, Sakina, talk through it. Because you feel like, say, you're supposed to come on earth to be a multimillionaire. You know, after that church.
Yes, you just feel like, say, you have it all. And,
exactly. You know.
But I feel like even, I even if I have it all, it's not going to be satisfactory unless God is in it.
Facts. And I feel like that's why the millionaires, them that are not Christian and that are not giving and doing it unto God, they have it switched to greed, and it's like they're filled. They always want more. And it's the persons who have less and are acknowledging God who have so much more joy.
Joy. That is it, man. The joy.
Whew. Yeah. Mm-mm. Joy. And what we come to realize, Saki, is that joy doesn't mean that there's absence of difficulties.
I've got joy in my chaos. Let me tell you something, people listening, because let me tell you, right now, I have chaos. I have struggles I am dealing with. But every time when I think about God, when I think about who he is and what he has done for me, this is just so much joy. And I want to just, let me just share this testimony real quick. See, as we're recording this, I'm in Canada at the moment, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know how to even explain me coming here. The way I applied for my visa was the church is having a convention, and I was so scared to apply because, you know, I'm not working. So I think they're going to say, oh, you don't have any ties to your country, so they're not going to give you a visa and I'm going to waste my money. I was so hesitant to apply. And I've been to Canada before, but I still was hesitant. And I said, you know, God, I'm putting this in your hand. When you think it's right for me, let me go and apply. And me put it off until I heard about this thing from my church. And I felt it in my spirit to apply. So I did. And I got the visa. No when me for come. We get money from buy ticket. Let me tell you something, Shakira. So when I was supposed to come, I was supposed to be here the 10th of August. And I bought the ticket, you know, from my credit card. The 10th of August. When we go to the airport a month ago, babe, the airport shut down.
Oh, that was okay. Oh my God.
I was down there with, I reached the airport, check-in and everything. The airport shut down, so I had to, they canceled all the flights, so you know that day was canceled. The following day, when I'm supposed to, they rebooked to the following day. So I came to the airport, I'm a check-in again, and just as I was about to go through security, when the agency came back and said, the flight is cancelled.
Jesus.
Who the immediately take me supposed to be in Canada? And we happened the following day. We finally made it to Canada and it was fine. But you know what is, let me tell you where God was evident in all of this. Because of that whole cancellation, they refunded me the full ticket.
My Jesus.
Let me tell you about my God. Okay? Let me
from credit card to free. Wow.
Let me tell hey. You see, this is what I tell you. I'm going through this right now, and there's just so much peace because God has me. He's taking care of me. I'm not even worried. I'm here, not working, but I'm fine because I've seen where God has been providing. Me not fear. Me not got that hungry. You know me alright because God. Because of God are here. This, you're going to have struggles regardless. I will tell people this all the time. People who are listening, you're going to have struggles. Whether you're a Christian or not, you're going to have struggles. But when you have a struggle and you have God, you'll be okay.
Legit the same thought I have. Legit, mm-hmm. Kina. Legit the same thought that I have where we always have struggles. Mm-hmm. You know, recently, even since week, I believe, I had to comfort myself with this fact. The word of God says, you will have trials and struggles. I'm not saying it word for word, but Jesus was saying you will have struggles and tribulations, trials and tribulations, but take heart because I've overcome the world. Right? Mm-hmm. So that goes to show that nobody is going to be left out from struggles. Even Jesus had struggles, but there's a difference when he's in the mix. And I just love how you shared that powerful testimony, because you didn't know what God was doing on his side. You did that, I said, God, flight delay, blah blah blah, I'm supposed to be in Canada, and then next day flight delay, I'm supposed to be in Canada.
Back to back, I'm saying,
but look what Jesus did,
what he has done.
Look what he did. And hearing your testimony, Sakina, it really does something for me. It even reminds me of something. So I don't think I ever shared it with you. I don't think I did, so I'm gonna share it now. Remember how we were, you know, looking at going to Qatar, right? Yeah. So I had applied to go to Qatar again last year, and mm-hmm. I don't think I told you, and I was shortlisted, right? Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to do like a kind of like interview, mm-hmm. bringing my documents. So it was like in Jamaica, so I'm supposed mm-hmm. to go to place. And before, while I was job hunting, I was kind of like doing it by my own strength. I'm like, I want to do this, I want to do that, blah blah blah. But when I got that email, I was like, I literally said this to God, God, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go again. I don't think I want to go again because there are several work that you have me to do here in Jamaica at my church, within my church organization, the real ones. God, if I go halfway across the world, it's going to affect every single thing that I'm doing for you right now. I can't mm-hmm. accept this. That's God never said, Shakira, you can't go because of blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I went to God and said, me can't accept this because if me go, this is going to impact how me serve you, right? Mm-hmm. And after that, I received another message to say, you know, on the same day that I would have needed to bring in my documents and stuff, there's something that's going to be happening for my church. So I decided I'm going to prepare for the church organization, even though based on our responses, we probably could have rescheduled, right? I could have said to them, I have another engagement. I said, I'm not going. And I won't lie, after I did it, I felt like an idiot. when I'm like, they're Jamaica, not now go on for you, blah, 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 you idiot, you could have go, whatever, whatever. And on days like that, I reapply to the same entities, I'm gonna get denied this time because the people don't realize to me is a joke. But I say all that to say that such a decision reminds me of David, where when David recognized that he was living good, he said, God, I want to build you a house. And he spoke to the prophet, and then the prophet spoke to God on his behalf and told him, say, you know, may I go honor him for such a thought. And even so, him not gonna be the one. him have too much blood upon him hand. So David, you not going to be the one to build it. Your son is going to build it. But even so, I'm going to allow your name to be one that lives on forever. Your kingdom will be established and everything like that. And it was just a thought. So Sakina, I say all that to say, it's not coincidental that the Lord favored you this much to give you all that, give you your money back basically, because your thought was, I am going to Canada for church. I'm going to Canada to worship you, Lord Jesus, in spirit and in truth. Wherever the pan knock, Jesus, may I go to the field. You right now, you've allowed me to be in a space where I don't have a lot going on, even though I would. I'm going to use this time to be wherever you are. Mm-hmm. And so on. So, me find it big. This is like a David, and I feel like this is just a snippet, you know, of what God will do. You say you're all right, things are going, you know, and things are going for David, you know. House was in household was in chaos. Pity them just a sin. Wally of things was happening. Brother killed brother, and then all kind of something was happening. Chaos was happening. But even so, the Lord still honored him. And say all that for say, I believe that's what's going on, and you have really inspired me to continue to make some radical decisions for God, to continue to step out in faith. I remember saying, Shakira, just be talking, but a true, me really inspired. That testimony, the beginner. That's one of the best testimonies I've heard since that lockdown in Montego Bay. Who knows if God never locked it down just for you?
Just for me. I thought about it. I said, God, you see you? You see you?
If locked it down just for you, he said, watch the style. My daughter wants to go to Canada and she doesn't have enough money. So look at what I'm going to do.
I'm even got hotel girl.
What?
Paid for.
No. Look at God. Look at God. So I really and truly hope that on days, like, please document that. Because, you know, a part of being the feminine church girl is that there are days when the enemy is going to come in like a flood. And you're going to feel weighed down, but as long as you document these things to help you remember the God that you serve, then on those dull moments when you're struggling in the skirt, struggling in your identity, then you will arise. So I really want you to really do that. And to others who are listening, document your up days, because on your down days, you're going to do, that's what you're going need for you, along with the sword, which is the word of God. That's literally it. But my closing point, though, I want to say before we're fully finished, is that when I highlighted that's what we struggle with many times, in terms of that purpose that God has created us to fulfill, the question also. So that's one thing that we don't want to accept, so we tug there. But then the other thing is understanding our calling. Our calling going to look very, very different from everybody else. So it's for us to really let go of feeling like, oh, these people are called to the pulpit, I find that some of the most effective people, not there on the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
They're writing blogs. They are doing podcasts. They're reaching masses. So if you never realize that this is a calling, Sakina, and your calling also involves your experiences, I hope that by the end of this episode and to the listeners, you'll understand that you've answered a call. And you've answered the call. The call to write. The call to be transparent. The call to testify about his goodness in the unorthodox way. The call the call to take plane like taxi. The call to take plane like taxi to go where he wants you to go. Cause who knows what the Lord may do for you there right now. So our calling will look different, right? You've answered the call to go to Canada. Now, when you're in a Canada, you write the blog and then you get one next call for come on a podcast.
Miss it. Come on,
y'all. You know? So, yeah. Just understand, saints of the Most High God, that don't look down on your experiences. Don't look down on your valley moments, because these are what the Lord Jesus will use as stepping stone to greatness. So that's my closing remarks. What's yours, Sakina?
What is yours? What's mine? Mine is just trust God and the trust the process. You, no matter where you are in life, no matter what is happening, good or bad, God, he's an omniscient God. He knows everything. And he will take care of you. And I also want to say to choose God and continue choosing him every day, because you could go out there and backslide and, you know, fall by the wayside. But if you just continue choosing God, continue showing up for God, he will show up for you. He will be there for you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. He will heal you. He will save you. Whatever you need, you can depend on him.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I see the Real Ones podcast as a rehab center targeted for persons who are struggling in their faith.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, and what we share tonight or today, whenever you're listening, but in a network, is that I really want you to pray for some persons who are struggling right now, and to pray for those before them even reach that point of struggle, that this prayer will save them, that this episode will save them from wanting to go into the party, from wanting to just do things from a vow perspective without recognizing that your heart needs to be in it. I just want you to pray.
That's true.
Yeah, prayer.
You want me to pray?
Pray right now, yeah. Well, that's true. Pray right now.
I thought you did. Okay. Bless God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly God and mighty Father Jesus, we thank you that, God, we have this opportunity to come to you. No matter where we are, no matter what time of the day it is, we can come to you in prayer, God. We thank you for being God. We thank you for who you are. And we want to worship you because of who you are. You've been so gracious to us, God. You're the omnipotent God, the omnipresent God, and the omniscient God. And so we know that, God, whatever we need, we Jesus, I put a special set of people in your hands in this moment, God. I put the persons, Jesus, who are struggling in their faith right now in your hands, Jesus. I pray, God, you remind them of who you are. I pray, God, in this moment that, God, you enter into their hearts, Jesus. Give them the transformation that they need, Jesus, to come back to you. Let them not waver, Jesus. Bring them, God, to you, Jesus. Connect them to the right people. Connect them to mentors, God, who will mentor them back to your spirit, God, to your grace, to serve you, God. Help them, God, to fulfill their God-given purpose, Jesus. Remind them that, God, no matter how far they go, no matter how far they feel they have sinned, Jesus, and fallen short of your glory, let them know that, God, you are forgiving, God. Let them know that, God, you will always love them and you will never forsake them. Help them, God, to find their way back to you, Jesus. And whoever, God, is about to enter the path, God, of backsliding, I pray, God, you go there in the midst, Jesus, and redirect them, God. We pray for a redirection now, Jesus. We pray that, God, you bring them back on the path, Jesus, that was serving you, of worshiping you, God, in spirit and truth, God. We pray, God, you will meet them where they are now, Jesus. Offer them a hand now, Jesus, to find their way back to you. Offer them a hand, God, that they might seek your face and call upon you now, Jesus. We thank you, God, that God, you'll never fail us, God. We thank you that, God, you offer grace. You offer forgiveness. We thank you for who you are, Jesus. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our comfort. Be with them now, Jesus, in this moment. Enter in their homes, enter in their rooms, wherever they are, God. If they're in a party in this moment, Jesus, we pray you enter their spirits in that party now, God. And I pray you'll redirect them back to you, Jesus. We leave them in your hands and we consider them blessed. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to speak on this podcast. Thank you for using Shakira, God, to spread your word. We thank you for this platform now, Jesus. And we thank you for each and every one of us who are listening in. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sakina, for praying and for sharing your story. I know that some parts were not necessarily easy because it required you to tap into another level of transparency. But even so, I'm really, really grateful for you, for your willingness to share, right? And I pray that God will just continue to use you and to take you to new heights, and that he will just fulfill the desires that he has planted in your hearts, you know? And thank you again. So before we leave, I just want you to share how persons can get the book that we're talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hello, Positive Me, as well as read your work. You know, feminine church girl blog.
Okay. Well, you can read my blog on Substack. If you search Feminine Church Girl, you can find me right there. The name is Sakina Carter. And if you like it, subscribe, share with other people, and let us just, you know, continue doing the work of God. The book is on Amazon. If you want to get the book there, that's it. And I'm also on YouTube, and I will start uploading again at some point. At some point, I'm on YouTube. I'm Sakina Carter.
She will do that after her Paul lessons have elapsed, because she needs to do some studying.
That's true. No lies were told there.
So yeah, I didn't know, but I prophesied. Prophesied. But thank you again, Sakina. Thank you so much. So guys, if you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And please share this episode with others who may be interested in this topic. God bless you and listen for the sheep, because that's a reminder that thy sheep knows the voice of God. All right, so stay blessed until next time.